Bierfeld is the
Blog Talk Radio.
And the reason that this is different, and you're going to hear about it today, is because in her practice, everything she's done in working with people, anxiety, depression, PTSD, eating disorders, substance abuse, you name it, physical disease, pain, she helps people learn how to move beyond it. But one of the things she also does and does very, very well is she understands the law of attraction and what happens when we have no traction. And what I mean by have no traction, we have no traction on the law of attraction. And what that means is we do a bunch of things that basically do not work, right? And so today we're talking about that and so much more. One of the things that I know that I have a love-hate relationship with is this topic, the importance of boundaries and managing our energy. Wow. How big is this, right?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to see you today. I was just thinking, it seems like it's been a long time because I was sick last time, so we didn't get to do our show, and I'm just talking to you, so I'm excited to be with you today and excited to be talking about this topic around how do we set clear boundaries.
Well, and, you know, let's talk about this for a minute because this is one of these things that pops up in our lives and we don't even know it's there. And what do I mean by that is we're so busy in our world, mm-hmm. right? And we keep doing, and we don't understand when somebody inches up to a boundary.
Yeah.
And then inches on the boundary and then crosses the boundary line.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I'm excited to be talking about this topic, especially today, because I know we did our last show on relationships. And I had talked about how in my practice, especially when I'm doing couples work, when I work with people, I'm all about helping them take responsibility for their own feelings when something gets triggered in a relationship. And I was thinking after that how important it is, though, to really emphasize that, like, taking responsibility for our feelings does not mean that we allow other people to abuse us or that we stay connected to people who are unhealthy in any way. So, yeah, as you were just saying, you know, when it comes to setting boundaries, I like what you were saying about, so some people will kind of inch forward and then come up to the boundary and then cross right over it. And I don't, you know, I was kind of hoping today that we could talk in terms of, I think, you know, everybody is capable of violating boundaries, but not doing it out of a place maliciously, but there are some people that are more what I would consider to be toxic people that are like chronic boundary violators.
Yeah.
They cannot accept boundaries.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I kind of wanted to focus on more today because I'm telling you that has been one of my greatest life lessons. Boy, I will tell you what,
yeah.
I spent a lot of my life, you know, wanting to kind of be in that, like, be liked and have had, you know, people-pleasing issues. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but that's been such a huge life lesson for me is what I've noticed is, like, you know, the more I've done my work and the healthier I have become, the clearer I've become with my boundaries. So internal worth, self-worth, and having clear boundaries kind of goes together. And so one of the hardest things I've had to learn in my life is that I don't need to allow just everybody to be in my life that wants to mm-hmm. be in my life. Or I have learned how to, at least if there are people that are unhealthy, that I can decide how much contact and how often I'm going to have contact. And if they're not healthy people, then I can keep it more limited.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that we're taking on this part of boundaries because, you know, when it's the once in a blue moon boundary, that's so obvious, right? We get our eyes wide open, right? Because we feel it. We feel a level of pain on it, right?
Yeah.
But if it's people that are in our lives that are doing it all the time, it's almost as if we've either created a resistance for it, we've created an almost complacency for it, or we've created just, I just don't want to deal with it for it. And and it's harder because once in a while somebody will push a boundary and you could say, hey, that right there, that is like, that's a no for me. But mm-hmm. what do you do, Corrine, with people that are in your life that this is the way they operate? This mm-hmm. is just them doing it. This is like them just breathing.
Yes, I know. Exactly. And there are people like that, that's kind of how they operate. You know, I will usually tell my clients that the healthier a person is, the more they tend to be self-reflective, want to do their own work, take responsibility. Like if they hurt someone else and they cause harm, they'll feel bad, they'll have empathy, they'll feel remorse, they'll try to correct the behavior. Yeah. Those are signs of somebody who's healthy, on a healthy path. But the opposite is also true. So the more unhealthy someone is, and I don't say that from a place of judgment. It's just more like I look at it like the more wounded or traumatized or it's like somebody who's living very unconsciously, they tend to be the opposite. They don't self-reflect. They don't want to take responsibility for their behavior. If they're confronted about their behavior, oftentimes they'll turn it around. They'll blame the person that they've hurt. They more often tend to live like they see themselves as victims in the victim mode. And so with someone like that, you're asking, well, what do you do with somebody like that? Unfortunately, the answer is you can't change that person. And again, this is like, God, such a hard lesson for me. What a big life lesson. Learning that you cannot change other people. All we can do is we become healthier. We can speak up. In relationships, we can say, okay, this feels right for me. This doesn't feel right. Here's what I'd like from you. Or when this happened, you know, that this is, it caused me pain or it hurt me, and have a conversation about it. If you're dealing with a healthy person, then and in a healthy relationship, hopefully the response would be, my God, my intention was not to cause you harm. Let me change my behavior. If you're dealing with someone who is more toxic and, you know, in psychology, there's this whole thing where they talk about like personality disorders. You know, so there's mood disorders, which are treatable, anxiety, depression, PTSD, and then you get the personality disorders, which are much more difficult to treat, and they are much, the people with personality disorders are much more difficult to be in relationship with because they tend to create a lot of chaos, a lot of drama, a lot of pain. So when you set a boundary with someone like that, oftentimes the boundary is not going to be honored. Actually, sometimes with someone who's personality disorder, they just look at it as a challenge to see if they can stomp on you even harder. So the answer with someone like that is, you don't continue to engage with someone like that. And that can be a really, really hard thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially if it's someone close, like if it's a family member or...
Yeah, if you're married to them.
A spouse.
I want to get back to what you said. I want to be clear because you bring up a really good point. We're talking about personality disorders. We're not talking about differences like you would see in the Myers-Briggs. There are differences in personalities and you work around them. But I watched a couple I knew literally go to divorce court because one of them, and I can't mention which one because they may be listening, so I don't even want to call them out on that. But because one of them could not stop reaching over on the plate at the dinner and going in for her food.
Yeah, like that led to divorce.
But the reason I'm bringing it up is you would think it's a simple thing for somebody to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But this is somebody that does it so naturally, and it's so offensive. So if you happen to get into a relationship where that is such an abusive form of boundary violation for a person, like some people are like, you don't touch my food. I am a Rottweiler. You do not touch my food. But that seems like a small thing. When you start to add these boundary things up, they're overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can go beyond touching food. You know what I mean? I tend to work with people who have come from a lot of trauma, come from very difficult upbringings where there's been a lot of abuse, and sometimes the most difficult, and this happens a lot actually, because I do so much trauma work, as people become healthier, what happens is they start to really become aware of the level of dysfunction sometimes in the family of origin. Mm-hmm. And then that can be really difficult because, you know, the healthier you become, another principle is the less willing you are to tolerate being around unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't have compassion for people that are, you know, in a more unconscious place, but you just don't want to be around it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel good. You want to be around people who are going to support you and uplift you. So I've seen over and over in my practice, and I've also seen because, you know, I my training's in hypnotherapy, I used to do like these intensive retreats. We would go like three or four weekends a year for 5 days at a time, and I would sit in a group of about 30 therapists or so. And as we did our work, and we became healthier over and over, what we would see, what would happen is we'd start to like evaluate the people in our lives and the relationships in our lives, and it was difficult because, again, sometimes like when you're two unhealthy people together, they're not going to see the dysfunction. But if one person starts to grow and get healthier and work on themselves and the people around them are not, it becomes more and more difficult sometimes for the person who's doing the work to say, like to continue just living unconsciously. They don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. One of my teachers in wellness, who I love, she's like one of my best teachers, and I don't think he'll mind me saying his name. I just had a conversation with him last week. I haven't seen him for a while. His name's Michael Malone. Loved him. He's been like such an angel in my life. He has always said that, you know, as I continue to grow and get healthy, the people around me are either going to grow with me and become healthy with me, or they're going to get gone, and I'm okay with either one. So it's a high-level statement. It's the one thing to understand it cognitively. It's another thing to really put it into practice. So, you know, and I've struggled with that in my own life because I, you know, especially like with family members and things like that, it's hard. It can be such a hard, hard thing to do, to disengage or detach from people that you love. But, again, as you start to, you know, become healthier or keep growing, then it just becomes more and more important to want to be with people who are going to meet you at that level,
mm-hmm.
and or who can see you above where you are, who are going to support you to help you rise up. Because otherwise it's like, you know, like if somebody's drowning and you get in the water to try to save the drowning, you're not going to save them. They're going to suck you down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we're talking about law of attraction, the thing that's most important when we're trying to manifest new beautiful things in our lives is managing our internal state every day. And I don't think there's anything that influences our state. Like, I can't think of any other factor that plays a bigger role in how we feel and in our emotional state on a daily basis than who we're engaging with, who we're in relationship with, who we're spending our time with, who we're talking to, who we're listening to. So, you know.
Well, and one of the things, too, I want to ask you about is, and let's just get right to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the fact that there are reasons that boundaries are so important. Let's talk about a few of the reasons. I gave an example of like obvious, right? The fork comes over, takes the food. But why is that so important to the person that has the food on the plate? When you find out why that's so important to her, what you realize is it triggered all sorts of unsafe things. Growing up in a family where there was not enough food on the table. I mean, there are like 1,000 reasons. And when you hear the story, mm-hmm. of what it triggers in her, and no matter what she says kindly to stop, it doesn't stop. Finally, the outburst of the restaurant outburst of how that got resolved, it boils up And that's what it comes to. So imagine like one time in the restaurant with six people at a dinner, going to dinner, and the partner just can't stop going after the food. And I mean, it's obvious to everybody around. And she finally took the plate and just smeared it all over.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It was the last straw of a decade.
Yeah.
But the reason it's so important is it harms people at a deep emotional level.
Right.
And boundaries help people feel safe, don't they?
That's the purpose of a boundary, is we create safety for ourselves by setting boundaries with others. I would say that in that situation, if this woman had been with someone for a decade and had asked for a decade, please stop touching my food, and the partner continued to engage in a behavior that they knew was very harmful, to me, that's what I'm talking about. That's somebody who's not going to honor a boundary. Like,
that's crazy.
Well, that goes deeper. There's something wrong with the partner, clearly.
Clearly there's something wrong. You know, we just saw this play out, Kareem, in our pop culture. We saw two people go at it in a harmful way. We saw Chris Rock say something he shouldn't have said. And then we saw the last straw for Will Smith. Both of them have consequences, but one of them had a severe consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you don't feel safe, right, and when you're stuck, we have to know how to change it. How often have you watched your partner screaming matches? How often have you watched a couple of screaming matches?
Oh, well, not often in my practice, because I just say to people, you're not paying me enough. I'm not going to listen to
you. Yeah, right, exactly.
You're going to be setting a boundary. Get out.
But boy,
that doesn't happen.
If you want to go there, you have to admit.
Well, sometimes I've had people try to escalate, and then I will, in a calm way, say, look, no, that's not what we're doing in here. You could scream at each other at home. You don't need to come and sit here and, you know, pay me to do that. So if you want to, now, and that's setting a boundary, here's what we're going to do. If you want to stay, and we can, you know, try to see if we can resolve this, and we're going to talk to each other respectfully. That's a boundary. And I think pretty much every time, one time I had somebody go that they weren't willing to, and they got up and left, and I was okay with that, you know, because it wouldn't have been productive anyway to have them stay.
But there's a process. And let's talk about what you can do if this person is in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I've worked for some people that bosses can be bullies. Bullying at work is prevalent. So you have to decide for yourself, right? You know, talk about, you know, unhealthy somebody is, right? Mm-hmm. And what we can do about it. But there's just some situations where the only thing you could do is adjust on the inside. Their jobs, you're not going to be able to leave. So you have to do something else. It's a hard lesson.
I think that's a great question. You're so right, too, especially like in a situation where if you work for a difficult boss or a toxic boss or there's a toxic employee, it only takes one in an environment to really create a toxic environment for everybody, get one person like that. So to take this to some of the principles that we have talked about before, on the law of attraction, I do tend to say to people, like if somebody comes in, for example, and they're dealing with a toxic boss, and I've had plenty of that, those type of situations come up over the 20 years I've been in practice, I will have a conversation with them. And this is, you know, again, a lot of times people don't want to hear this, but it sort of goes back to what I was saying about relationships in the last show, where believe it's a coincidence, the people that show up in our life, that on, and this is a law of attraction principle, that we tend to attract in some way people that will reflect back to us where we're wounded, and it usually has to do with family of origin stuff. So if somebody grew up with like an abusive mother or abusive father, it's not uncommon at all that they could end up in a work situation where they are experiencing an abusive boss and to tolerate it. So what will happen is, like, let's say that they come in and they're experiencing a lot of emotional anguish around that, understandably. What I tend to do is, first of all, we can talk about, like, the practical things that they can do in the work environment just in the short run to set boundaries. So that would be like, okay, you want to be non-reactive, because toxic people like it when you, if they can get a rise out of you, or they can get a reaction that actually fuels them. So like it's the opposite of what a normal, like somebody who's not disordered doesn't want to hurt other people, but somebody who is, they actually enjoy it, or they can, it makes them feel significant. So, you know, we'll talk on a practical level about how can you stay calm? How can you not react in the moment? You know, how can you take your time, think it through, take deep breaths, respond briefly, and then remove yourself? But at the same time, as I'm, you know, we're working at that level, then I will also be doing work with the person around family of origin stuff, because inevitably they ended up in a, like, they wouldn't have, they, a healthy person with really clear boundaries who ends up in a work environment with a toxic boss would just be like, I'm out of here. I don't care. Like, I'll find someplace else to work. So somebody who's there and working and is suffering, what I will do is help them do family of origin work until they begin to feel safer within themselves. And what will usually end up happening is either they get fired or a better job comes along. Like, once they've cleared within themselves, you know, got the lessons that they get, it just naturally unfolds that, you know, as within, so without. You clean up what's within, and then what's happening externally naturally shifts. I've been fired for more than one job. I'm not proud to say it, but in hindsight, I'm like, every time it was like a blessing in disguise. Thank you, God. You know?
Yeah. I've been fired from every job I've had.
Every.
So let's just get that out on the table.
And I look back and I'm like, boy, and I had some doozy bosses, you know?
Well, and I can pinpoint as to every single one of them what was mine to own and what was not. And what I've learned about it, I tend to stay too long. See, that's a boundary. See, I know when somehow, some way, a boundary of mine has been crossed or violated.
Yeah.
And even with that, we don't take action. See,
yeah.
I think that's part of the problem too.
Yeah.
If you know something is happening and you don't give the feedback right away, 3 years later, for you to be like, yeah, you know, you've been doing it for 3 years, that just doesn't work, right?
I think what you said, that's such an important point. So because our bodies will tell us right away if something doesn't feel right. So if someone crosses a boundary, immediately we'll feel it in our body. Like, it might, you know, our stomach might constrict, or we'll feel it in our chest. And then we, again, usually if we've been brought up in environments where we had our boundaries violated over and over, we disregard what our bodies are saying to us, because we're, you know, like internally wired. We know what feels right and what doesn't. We'll disregard it. We'll override it, and we'll stay and tolerate it until we do the work to become healthy enough to where we're not going to tolerate it anymore.
Yeah.
It's just how it works.
It is a process. I mean, you know, before we get too far here, you work with people on a wide range of items and issues around this. And I mean, this is your body of work. This is what you're passionate about, to help people heal. You know,
totally
to help them see, right?
Yes.
What they don't see. Boundaries is one of those things that is not always obvious. Can you let folks know, one, how they can find out more about you? And there's a lot of information that if they need to contact you, they can do that. Tell them how to do that best.
Sure. So my website is my name, which is KorenBierfeldt.com, KorenBierfeldt.com. And there's on my website, there's information on how to contact me and about my practice. And what was the other part of your question?
Yeah, and then if people want to work with you, they can just call you and, you know, schedule time to do that and all of the above. I wanted to save a few minutes at the end to talk about what we started out with. Protecting our boundaries is essential to protecting our energy. And that is something we don't think about that often. But yet when we know that a boundary has been either stepped on or approached or violated, boy, we know how that feels, don't we?
Absolutely, yes. Right, and that's the whole point when I, you know, was thinking about, okay, what is it, when we're talking about law of attraction, learning how to be able to be clear about what feels right and doesn't feel right and set boundaries with people who don't make us feel good so that we can stay in a state that lifts us up. We want to be around people who are going to support us and love us, not people who are going to pull us down.
And learning healthy boundaries is also another pathway to freedom, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think you said it earlier, and thank you for pointing out, it may not be the easiest thing to do, but boy, it's one of the most freeing things to do, isn't it?
I think it's one of the most important things to do. And I, you know, read a lot of books on people who are successful, and they all say that who they surround themselves with. Oprah talked about this too. She's like, when I got this, that who I surround myself with, that was key. That was the key to her success.
Thanks for joining the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Green Bertho. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio and learn how you can heal from the traumas and conditions you thought were impossible. Get inspired to pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. To learn more about Corrine and her and the services she provides as holistic psychotherapist, visit her website at corrinebertho.com.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. It's so great. Every time I get the opportunity to get an update from our friends at PETA, PETA.org, P-E-T-A.org. Every time I see that we're going to have a conversation with them, I'm always blown away about what they're doing, but also how little we are aware of what needs to be done. Today, all of you are going to experience for us Dr. Lisa Jones-Engel, PETA's Senior Science Advisor on Primate Experimentation. Let me say it again. Yes, it's real. Primate experimentation. That's not something just in the movies. This is the way we are doing things even now. Dr. Lisa, great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk with you about this.
Well, you know, most people think this is all done, that we just are not really in the groove anymore, that, you know, we got the message on this and everybody has changed and here we are. But boy, that is so far from the truth. And let's give everybody an update here on what the reality and the facts are, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So the reality is that experimenting on monkeys or apes has been disastrous and we need to stop. You know, there's been more than a million monkeys that have been ripped from Asia and Africa and South America. They've experienced really unspeakable horrors. They're boxed up. They're shipped around the world. They're tortured. They're killed in labs. Billions of taxpayer dollars are wasted. And the horrors for the animals, the extraordinary waste of taxpayer dollars, the utter failure to produce successful vaccines and meaningful treatments, this is the reality of monkey experimentation. This reality is happening here in Washington State. It's a reality that I lived for 14 years as a primate scientist here. And it is a reality that people, you're right, simply don't know what's happening, even here in our own state, our own backyard.
And I got to tell you, especially in our own backyard, if I might say, Dr. Lisa, because we think better of Washington State. At so many levels, we think better of Washington State. You know, one of the states that leads in the fight against climate change, one of the states that led in the openness and support of same-sex marriages. I mean, there's so many things we have come out of the gate with. what the heck is going on here? And many people don't understand what the National Primate Research Centers are. But let's talk about how you all are connecting the dots so that we all know who to call and ask them what's up.
Great. So there are seven remaining National Primate Research Centers. So ours is here in Washington, in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
There are another one in Oregon, California, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia. There used to be an eighth. That was up in Massachusetts, and that was at Harvard University. But a few years ago, you know, Harvard looked at the facts. They looked at the monkey facts. They looked at the money facts, and they realized that after decades of phenomenally expensive and torturous experiments on these monkeys, that they hadn't delivered the promised HIV vaccines or the Alzheimer's treatments or treatments for cardiovascular disease or diabetes. And Harvard shut down their National Primate Research Center. They no longer wanted to invest in bad science. But there are these seven holdouts who, despite, you know, all the evidence sitting in front of them, if you're not going to get improvements in human health by using a monkey that's diseased and distressed and caged underground in a tiny little metal box. Despite that, these institutes or these NPRCs have kind of run under the radar for a while. Here in Washington State, I and PETA are doing everything in our power to make sure that actually people do see. They see the violations, the animal welfare violations. They see the Washington State law violations. They see the federal violations of the Animal Welfare Act, and that they know that, you know, all this money that we're spending on them, all these monkeys that are dying, and you're getting nothing out of it.
Mm. So what does it take from your perspective to get, like, a wake-up call here and get people to stop?
People have to see it. People have to hear about it. And that is tough because this is a billion-dollar industry that is highly invested, highly motivated to make sure that people don't see. You know, the misinformation that's put out, you know, we see it all the time. We must have monkeys in order to get, you know, COVID vaccines. Well, that's a blatant lie.
Yeah.
Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, they knew from the very beginning that the virus was not behaving the same way in the monkey, but it was behaving in humans. And they said, hey, this monkey stuff, this is garbage. We're going directly into human clinical trials. And that's why we got these vaccines into our arms very, very quickly. If we relied on the continued, you know, the riding the monkey train, we'd still be in the depths of this pandemic.
You know, I know you're on the forefront of this, and you're like me. Every time we get something like this, we wonder, is this reality, right? Is this something that we're just not looking at? And let's make sure everybody knows that you are upfront, and they can go to your website, and they can get a lot of information, and they can take some action. Would you let folks know how they can do that?
Absolutely. You can go to PETA.org/NPRC. National Primate Research Center. The documentation is there. The descriptions of the seven National Primate Research Center. You can actually see the videos. You can see the information that we pull through Freedom of Information requests. You can actually click on the Activist Center and send an email to the National Institutes of Health, which funds with taxpayer dollars these NPRCs and tell the NIH, you know what? No, this is not how I want my taxpayer dollars being spent. This is flawed science. It is taking away funding from the 21st century's approach to human health.
Yeah.
So tell NIH, put the money toward translatable, human relevant, non-animal research. That's where our dollars should be going.
Well, let's get at the bottom of something that nobody's talking about. You know, I talked about this years ago when we were leading the championship and investigations into the core essence of Lyme disease and how that may have happened. You know, why is it called Lyme disease out of Lyme? And you have something in this report that really does speak to a battle we took on. And let's get on it right now. Some of the facilities, and I think they were Texas, Louisiana, what they are acknowledging, this is shocking right now what we're about to say. You ready? That thousands of monkeys, right, who are being housed outdoors. So thing number one, everybody should hear, they're not all indoors. So let's start with that conversation. But imagine thousands of monkeys housing outdoors, carrying deadly parasites, and you don't even have to fill out the rest. Anybody with a little common sense, think about this. They can spill over into human populations. But just everybody listening, imagining this. Here you've got these monkeys, and they are outdoors. Thousands of monkeys. Now think about this from your own perspective. How often do we see a deer walk through your backyard, and you all know that that one deer can carry more ticks than you can imagine, which spill over to your yard, then that spills over on other things. So this, Dr. Lisa, this is the thing people need to think about right here. Am I correct? Fact check me. Please fact check
me. You are spot on with that. I'm actually going to even put a little bit finer detail on that. You talked about Texas and Louisiana, the primate centers there with thousands of monkeys. Those monkeys are basically an outdoor buffet for mosquitoes and for beetles. But they carry all types of infections. And so the vectors, that's what we call
vector-borne
insects, they come in. Yep. They feed on the monkey. The parasites that they're carrying actually kind of circulate in those monkey populations. They diversify, they mutate, they change in those monkey populations. Then more bugs come in, they feed on them, they pick up the new bugs. Then they go out and they feed on humans. They feed on our dogs, Chagas disease. Right now, Texas and Louisiana have admitted in their own publications that their monkey populations are maintaining a significant role in the maintenance, transmission, and diversity of the parasite that causes Chagas disease, and that this is the likelihood that this is now spilling over into human and canine populations. This stuff is happening.
It's shocking.
No one knows about it.
No one knows about it. And honestly, I wish, you know, that we could do a bigger expose on this, because I got to tell you, I fought for 10 years, myself and a number of doctors here in Washington State, the state that admits that would not admit that Lyme disease lives here. And I experienced how they get around that myself. It's shocking what they did to not acknowledge that Lyme disease here until the numbers got so big that they had to really admit, oh, these are not transplants from other states. Maybe somehow a tick knows how to get from Montana to Colorado to Idaho. So somehow somebody acknowledged that. Why are we so naive about this transmission? Because, you know, the science would say that this is one of the reasons that we can't pinpoint where half of this parasitic diseases are coming from.
You are, again, you were so spot on. Actually, the Washington State Primate Center got busted by the Washington State Department of Ag because they were importing diseased monkeys into Seattle without the necessary permit. And actually, that was just their imported monkeys, and they're not allowed to bring in disease monkeys, but they still were. And that is something. So, yeah, we busted them for that, or WSDA busted them for that. But that's just one example. You know, we are showing that there are disease, pathogen, and parasite, and ridden monkeys that are traveling all over this country. And, you know, we know it. The CDC knows them. You know, a few weeks ago, we actually, the world got a face full of it, because in Danville, Pennsylvania, monkeys fresh off the plane from Africa, there was an accident. They spilled out onto the highway. Three of them got loose. The Centers for Disease Control actually sent a team up immediately. They saw this is the nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
CDC knows the public health risk. Those monkeys were shot dead.
Can I just tell you something? Let's just get to something. I know you got to run. I'm way over my time. But I just got you to, I need you to comment on this. Most of the time when we talk about these Washington National Primate Research Center, everybody thinks, oh, maybe they're in Yakima, right? You feel me on this? This center is not. This is not in Yakima. Let's tell people where the Washington National Primate Research Center is, okay?
It is. Mac Dab in the middle of Seattle on the UW campus. It's in a buried underground facility on the Health Sciences campus.
Yep.
There are infant monkeys in the lab in Health Sciences. On five floors of Health Sciences, you've got monkeys. We used to have monkeys right next to the Olympic Sculpture Garden.
Yep.
You know, there are so many monkeys
right there,
hidden
right there
in this city.
Yep.
Yep.
Look, thank you so much for today. Give out your website and last question, personal message. What do you want to leave us with today?
CUDA.org/NPRC. People need to see. We need people to look, to see what's going on, and then to hold the individual to a responsible, accountable. We need good human health, and you don't get that by using a monkey science.
Yeah.
To use monkeys.
Yeah.
Bad science and a public health threat.
Yeah, and I am just shocked why we do not have more protesters outside these buildings, why we're not doing more to expose it, because we actually cannot believe that right in the heart of Seattle, that is going on. Dr. Lisa Jones Engel, I'm Dr. Pat. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of Wow Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippee to that, baby. Everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to our good news segment. I got to tell you, it's a good news segment. David F. Yoon is joining me here today. And, you know, the reason that I'm excited about speaking with him, because he is doing something that I have longed for people around the New York City arena to do. You know, growing up in New York City, okay, what do I know about New York City? I remember getting on that subway, having that paper, grabbing that coffee right there as you come through the tubes, you got that, you got your paper, you're sitting on the subway, and you are just getting all up to date with what's going on. But now there's a new world, and David is doing something really fascinating with this new world, because I don't know about you, but I am really long for journalism. Now, old school journalism, new school journalism, I don't care what you call it. It's journalism. And what is the New York Sun, right? You ready for that? I know that one. One of America's historic newspapers. What are they doing? Here's what they're doing. They're getting it on. They're relaunching an online daily and national, international coverage aiming at restoring public trust in the press. Hallelujah for that. David, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me, Dr. Pat.
I'm telling you, growing up in New York, one of the things that most New Yorkers, and I can't speak for everybody in New York, but you know this, that's why you're launching this, is we are really hungry for news. We're hungry to get information, and this is across the board. This is really across the board. But we're hungry for saying, who are the people that are contributing? What is the newspaper about? How many places can we look at this? And what is it that we can take from this and we can trust? Now, let me ask you this question. Did you consider those things when you said, okay, I'm on it. I am relaunching this paper, New York, The Sun. Tell me.
Absolutely. Those are exactly the things that we considered. And I don't have to tell you that, you know, while news consumption is at the all-time high, there are, you know, dozens and hundreds of news publications in print, especially online. But at the same time, newspapers and journalism are in crisis. And I'm not even talking about the business of newspapers. I'm talking about the crisis in trust. You have a situation nowadays where trust in journalism and news institutions has reached all-time lows. It's more than halved since record-keeping began in 1972. And that's bad. You know, that's really dangerous for our democracy. I mean, we all know that journalism is the lifeblood of democracy. That means if journalism is sick, then our democracy is sick. And when you have so many citizens who look at the press that is supposed to serve as a safeguard of democracy, to be, you know, if you will, the backstop, the safety net of democracy, when all other institutions have failed, and yet the press itself is failing so spectacularly, we know that it's time for a new journalism. And there is no better publication than the New York Sun that has the 200 years of history, almost 200 years of history, that declares on its iconic masthead that it shines for all, that it puts the interests of the American public first, that puts principles over politics and partisanship and individual personalities. This is a newspaper, I would argue, for this very moment, like no other.
And I want to thank you, too, for making this affordable for people. People can go to your website and they can read, but thank you for making your membership so that it's accessible to everyone. And that's what I was really struck by, because I remember how much I used to pay for papers and, you know, being delivered. And then I have a bunch of online subscriptions. But one of the things you did is you broke this down into three tiers, so that there's something for everyone. And when I think about that, you know, you can become a member for, help me with my math, but it's like 33 cents a day. And then you can build upon that and then look at what you all are providing people. I have to congratulate you for that, because coming out of the gate, I know what it's like to launch media. We're launching, we're going from one channel to 10. We've been working on our technology. And I know what it's like to do that. And one of the most important things for us was our price point. We could not build a network with 10 channels, you know, offering custom channels to even somebody like you, and then just gouge the prices. So thank you for doing that. Tell me this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
right? I mean, you did it. I want to talk about journalism, too. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, by the way, instead of holding the paper in the subway, you can have the phone. But this is not just for New Yorkers. It's for everybody, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. I mean, look, we are in New York by birth, if you will, and mm-hmm. even a bit by spirit. But we're a national paper, even an international paper. I mean, you know, we all know about the New York Times, even the LA Times and the Washington Post. I mean, today, those boundaries don't really exist anymore. And the national papers, you know, have a base here or there, wherever they are, but they speak to certainly issues that are affecting people across the country and even around the world. You know, we have national correspondents, we have international correspondents. Our base is New York, our home base is New York, and certainly we've got robust New York coverage. But we are a paper that shines for all. We're a paper that has coverage and is interested in the needs and the tribulations and the concerns of regular Americans across this great country, and I think in a way that few other newspapers are. So I would say we're a newspaper with open arms that seeks to shine for all and welcome all Americans to participate mm-hmm. and become a part of our community.
Oh, well, I got to tell you, I'm already hooked, because I'm already reading some of the articles here, and after I'm done with this, I'm going to sign up for my subscription. You know, I mean, you're covering so many points and perspectives, and I love three things about what you're doing. It's not just an online paper, but you're creating forums for people to have conversations, for them to participate. And yet when I go to the website, let me just give it out. It's nysun.com, nysun.com. Did I get that right? Nysun.com?
Okay. NYSUN. It's an easy one.
Oh, it's an easy one. That's why I thought I messed it up right there. What I love about this is real journalism. I was struck by this morning, and I know this is a short interview. I started to read some of these articles, and I'm like, oh, I got to comment on that. Oh, wait a minute. I got to find somebody on that. Oh, wait a minute. I got to talk about this the article that's in here about Romney. And you know, okay. Oh, my gosh. You know, and so I find myself, like, in one click, really interested. Can I ask you this question? The thing that I think is got my attention is the quality of the writing. These are journalists, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we've put a tremendous focus. You know, I don't know why it is, but, you know, when it comes to your doctor or your lawyer or your accountant or your travel agent, you know, everybody wants the best and the brightest. But, you know, people will click on anything that they see on the internet that looks like a shiny object. You know, we have a very different approach to this. You know, we interviewed somewhere between 200 and 300 people, the best and the brightest, people with real deep experience on the issues that we're covering. Our editor-in-chief, Seth Lipsky, is really a legend in the world of journalism. And, you know, if you look at the handful of folks we selected from that massive list of candidates, we've really picked the best and the brightest. And, you know, we know that the worth and the measure of any newspaper is not in market cap or cash on hand. It's in the hearts and minds of its editors and journalists. And that goes back, you know, all the way. In fact, in an old description of the New York Sun newsroom, which was sort of an empty warehouse in the 1800s, you know, a big building, but that's what the room looked like. It was just a big open room with a lot of desks. The biographer speaks of the only adornment in that room is the men and their genius. And the men and women of the New York Sun have been hand-selected to bring the very best value to our readers and real expertise, knowledge to every single subject. We put a lot of focus on that and certainly know that it's much needed and will be appreciated by the American public and by our constituents and readership.
Well, I have to tell you, I know what it's like to create quality, and yes, we do invest in building our networks. I mean, I know what we've invested, but we invest because people want the best. And I really have to honor you for the way that you've come out of the gate with this. I want to ask you this last question. I only got about 2 minutes left here, but tell me your vision. I want to know your vision. Where are you going from here? Okay, but you don't have to give me any secrets, but something. Give me something.
Well, look, you know, our vision is really influenced by our past, and it's not a secret because in order to achieve our vision, you know, we'll need people to come along with us. You know, we'll need a community to join us and stand behind us. You know, it's a participatory sport. If you're not happy with the journalism you see today, instead of disengaging, you know, we invite you to become a part of building a better alternative. That's the American way, and you can do that at nysun.com. But what we'd like to really build, you know, is to build back this historic paper of record. You know, in our city, in New York, there's another paper, the New York Times, that has really fashioned itself as the be-all and the end-all of journalism. Yet there are many tens of millions of Americans who really look at that paper and feel like it doesn't represent them in any way, shape, or form. And the New York Sun really filled that role as a counterweight for many years. It was founded 18 years before the New York Times. It's got those Pulitzer Prizes, nearly 200 years of history. It's a New York broadsheet with a Gothic masthead and a focus on politics and arts. So in many ways, you know, it is that mirror image of the time, and if we can build the New York Sun back to that prominent role that it's held historically, speaking for all Americans as a counterweight to a newspaper that many Americans feel has lost its way, you know, we'll be you know, very pleased with that achievement, and our hope is that the American public will welcome that as well.
I love it. Thank you so much for everything. One last question. I would be remiss if I didn't. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with today?
My personal message is that, you know, in today's world, every single person, individual person, can be an editor-in-chief of their own outlet, of their own Facebook page, social media accounts. And it's not just enough to consume and read the best journalism, but it's we're in a moment where everybody can participate in it. And everybody should consider doing so. For the good of the future of journalism and the future of our democracy.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Many, many more things to come. Please make sure you all go to the website and check it out. You can decide for yourself, nysun.com. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Tuesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. We're over on I-5 northbound at Seneca Street around Mile +165. A recent disabled vehicle partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Also a collision on Highway 16 westbound at Mile +1 and 1.5. Just look around the on-ramp to South Union Avenue. That's on 16 westbound. There's a collision there. The right lane and off-ramp has been blocked. But that's okay. Stay tuned because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's the magic of connection with Sarah Welsh. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. Air travelers are reacting to the federal mask mandate being lifted on airplanes and public transit. This passenger arriving at Detroit Metro Airport said people celebrated not having to wear face coverings on flights.
It's a real moment almost because it's been so many years now that we've been doing this and a couple people cheered.
Today marks the first full day passengers didn't have to wear masks on planes. The TSA stopped enforcing the mask mandate last night after a federal judge struck down the requirement. Nearly 2.3 million people passed through security checkpoints yesterday. The first portion of the $800 million drawdown package to aid Ukraine is now in Europe. The first flight carrying the U.S. security assistance landed on Monday. A senior U.S. defense official said seven more flights are expected to land in Europe in the next 24 hours. The official couldn't say when Ukraine would receive the package, but said none of these shipments sit around very long before being offloaded off of the planes. Ukraine will receive weapons and gear such as chemical attack protective equipment, helicopters, switchblade drones, and howitzers as part of the package. Governor Murphy is renewing his push to get a package of gun safety bills through the New Jersey State Legislature. Scott Pringle reports.
About a year ago, Governor Murphy proposed numerous gun safety bills. He says since then, more than 1,300 New Jersey residents have been shot.
Day after day, members of our New Jersey family are being shot and killed. And it's outrageous that their state government in Trenton isn't doing everything it can to stem this tide of gun violence.
One of these bills Murphy's pushing requires a gun safety course before a purchase. Murphy also wants a ban on the sale of 50 caliber firearms.
Today marks 29 years since the Waco massacre happened in Texas. In 1993, a 51-day standoff came to an end when FBI agents raided the Branch Davidian compound. Branch Davidian leader David Koresh and more than 80 other cult members died when the compound burned to the ground. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
If you're successful in life, you understand the concept of protecting yourself. Let me ask you this. Are you protecting your family and your assets with quality term life insurance? At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000, $1 million, or more. So call us right now for a free, no-pressure quote. 800-509-1741, 800-509-1741, 800-509-1741.
And let's go ahead and take a look now to our Alternative Talk weather outlook for Tuesday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies and rain at times for the first part of the day. A few sun breaks mixed in as well, with a slight chance of thunderstorm or two. High temperatures around 51, 52 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Low temperatures dropping back down to about 38. But Wednesday and Thursday, more clouds and rain expected. High temperatures a little warmer in the mid to upper 50s, probably topping out about 57, 58. With clouds and rain through the overnight, low temperatures in the low 40s. Partly sunny skies expected for Friday. Highs around 57.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey,
everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on right here on the Dr. Pat Show, Transformation Talk Radio, all the affiliates. And honestly, I don't even know where y'all are listening from now. I got an email from somebody the other day, like she did a comments thing and said, I was driving in my car and I was listening to you. And then I'm like, well, where? And she's like, yeah, I'm in Alabama. And I'm thinking, thank goodness I didn't plan this. Thank goodness I had a vision. Jessica, you got all the right people. And then you say, Spirit, do it. Because I'll tell you, I wasn't born with the smarts to figure this out, just saying. But that's what today's show is about. See, I'm excited. I got Michelle here, right? I got Michelle Welch joining me here today. And I'm going to try not to talk about her other book because I know this is an hour show, but I want to talk about this. But I may have to talk about a couple of things at the same time. Today, I want to introduce you to a message. Yes, it's a book. Yes, she's amazing, but there's a message, and it's an invitation, like not like the Alanis Morissette Uninvited, not that. It's an invitation to take a look, energy of spirits unveiled. What is that energy? See, that's what she wrote about. This is now a fresh perspective on angels, guides, ghosts, and more, because we're living in fresh times. And so even when you listen to the show that Mark and I do on Thursdays, and he's talking about near-death experiences, and I chime in and say, hello, but those are not the same for everybody. Not everybody sees the white light. Not everybody's like hovering, right? But people sometimes blank out, come back, they're not the same. But what is it about Michelle? Now, I want to tell you, I know you all know who she is. I know you do. But she's the author of also another book, The Magic of Connection. Both of these are coming to us from our friends at Llewellyn. I'm just saying, that's Linda. Linda and Llewellyn got something going on. But all of the publishers we work with are doing something extraordinary in the publishing field. They are bringing messages for our time that are needed. And that's what Michelle's doing. Whether you know her and have seen her on podcasts, television shows, she's like Mark. He's going to get me. She's a reformed attorney, but still licensed. She's licensed in the state of Texas. And I could do a whole nother show with her just about that, but I'm going to save that. I'm going to have her come back and have Mark come back. And we're going to have to talk about the law in a different way. But she's also the host of Soul What? All of this and more. CBS, television, radio, morning show, Good Morning America. And she is like the energizing angelic bunny. She just keeps going. Michelle, great to have you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be on. Thank you.
Well, I have to tell you, I was so pleased. I was reading your book, and I was reading about a different version of different things. Let me explain. I was reading about, let's just say, one archangel. He's not like my primary archangel, but I was reading about him, Michael. And I was reading about what you said, and you're like, well, wait a minute. He's not typically thought about like this. Yeah, it's true, but wait a minute. There are good, positive, negative, and the light or dark. There are all of that. There are rising angels. There are falling angels. And so what is it about this new perspective in your book? What is it that we have to now shift a little paradigm because spirits are unveiled?
Great question. I love it. I'd say really the biggest thing is we have to realize it's easier than we've been making it. We really just need to shift into thinking about frequency more than trying to label every single thing around us as good, positive, where does this fit? Even sometimes, what lesson is it? Why don't we just experience it for a little while? It's experience life, experience a journey. And so it was really just came at a time when I finally was thinking, each book I've written has come at a time when I imagine this is everybody, but it's kind of like what I need. And so it doesn't mean I'm necessarily the expert in everything I write about. It's maybe where I'm at the time. But they both come out what I thought I've been told was maybe the worst of times, the best of times, whatever that was, the best of times, the worst of times, both books. It's been tough, but in a good way.
And I love that you're bringing this out, because I love how whenever we need a message, somehow people like you, like yourself, you get energized to bring that message forward. So I want to ask you this question. The two books we mentioned, but I want to focus on this one in particular, because I really think something may have happened. I want to know, as you're writing this book and off you go, and now the book is done, and here we are looking at it, right? A lot of things have changed. We also may be taking some callers here, maybe doing a little readings on the show today, everybody. But I want to know, writing this book changed you.
It was freeing, actually. It changed me to have a freedom to say, I mean, people have known that I have had different experiences all my life, and there's a lot of people who will say, you know, from the time I was a little child, whatever, but this is my life. I mean, seeing things around me all the time, and it finally got to the point, things, and seeing things differently and sometimes the same as other people. I finally got to the point where when I was writing about being an empath and saying really you need to be able to step next step and learn to transmute energy. And this one, so it's kind of being a little preachy, because I think we stopped short on that. And I think it's time to say how wonderful we are, and we can step forward and do even more instead of just always protecting ourselves. And so in Spirits Unveiled, I just wanted to say, and guess what? Everything you feel all around you is real. I mean, from the way a tree feels to the way your table feels, it has energy. Everything does. So why don't we try to get to know some of the beings that we're just, you know, I laugh because everyone's like, well, sage it. And I'm like, well, have you talked to it yet? Do you even know? So you have any clue what the spirit may want to tell you? So you're just running and get the sage. Meanwhile, the spirit's probably going, you don't want to do that because I have a really important message for you that may change your life. But meanwhile, we're saging away and saying, you know, let's get rid of what's in the closet. Really, we should just say, so it's changed me because I finally was free to just say, okay, now it's in a book and people can know. This is real. This is how you live. And sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's very hard on you. I write about that in the book, to be how I am, where I actually see and sense things than I have since I was little. And it's not, I'm not just jumping on a bandwagon. It's fine if people want to and learn intuition, but it's something that's just been with me as long as I can remember.
Yeah. I think this is a coming out time. See, I call this, I was talking the other day, and I said, this is time to have your coming out party. This is time where, you know, in both of your books, right, there's a part in your new book and The Magic of Connection, right, you know, where I looked across both. And there was a section in your new book, and I thought, okay, I think I get what she's saying. I think I think there's a message here that we got to latch on to. And, you know, the reference that I'm talking about is, you know, in Spirits Unveiled, there's a part where you talk about collaborating. And I think that's what you just referenced, collaborating, you know, collaborating and not collaborating, you know, with this judgment of collaborating, but collaborating, identifying the individual frequencies and then having a moment, right? Yeah. This is my language where I'm saying having a moment.
Yeah.
And one of the things I love is that you're right. I mean, I had a call from one of our listeners about a month ago who listened to the show I do that Mark and I do on Thursday, and she said, "That's Pat, after the show, I felt a spirit, and I went and got the can of Raid, and I tried to spray it, and I'm like, what? It's not a bug."
but it feels that way.
It feels that way.
Yeah.
What you're asking us to do in Spirit Unveiled, right, is really a coming out party. It's to have a way to open up the channels of communication, right, and to look at the energies and frequencies And I think the way you did that, you know, in magic is to teach and help us transform or transmute. In this particular book, I love that you're giving us tools so that people know how to work with these entities, right? How powerful is that from your perspective?
It's very powerful. It's really probably the most empowering thing there can be to know that you are part of nature. You're part of one thing. And now guess what? You can work and collaborate with that one thing. How big can that be? Whatever it is that makes you happy, how much more full can the cup be when you realize you're literally connected to everybody and now you're reaching out to every kind of spirit there is also, and not just, you know, keeping with human or even saying I'm talking to a spirit guide, but yet on a whole nother level.
Yeah.
So, and I do think it's time for all that to come out. And the difference is with mine is just saying I do have some things that I would say I don't agree with. I don't agree, and that's okay, and people don't have to agree with me either, but just food for thought. Things have been said a really long time that people just pick up. Like they'll say one of the things that's been said is, and this comes into loved ones and ancestors or any kind of loved one, really. It's when you bring in mediumship, and people get really funny about it because to me, I don't care what frequency it is. So it doesn't matter. I don't need to be told they're a dog interpreter or they're an alien interpreter. Maybe that's your specialty. But if they really can communicate with different frequencies, I would think someone claiming to be able to do that would be able to do almost all frequencies because you just have to learn to adjust your frequency. And so the mediumship I've heard I just think that, and now I've lost it again.
But I totally get what you're saying because I got thrown out of Catholic boarding school because I proved that Jesus talked to me. And I was in Catholic boarding school at a very young age. No child should be in a Catholic boarding school at like age 6. I'm just saying, right? Okay, that's a little young. But
no, I agree.
Some of us learned about it. And I have to say, despite my dad, if it wasn't for my stepmom, I would have turned out very differently. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here we are, and it's a frequency. It's you're sitting in the church on a weekend, you shouldn't be there. You're 6 years old. You look up at the Station of the Cross, and Jesus says, your mom is with me. And you're yanking on Sister Michael Anthony, right? She's really pissed, too. She's crazy pissed. And you're telling her, and she grabs you by the ears, only to find out Mother Superior has a note that my mom just died. Now, there's a frequency. It doesn't have a name. It's a six-year-old saying, he said this to me. But you see, after that point, people want to make it a whole lot of other crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you end up going to therapy, right? You just get, you have this beautiful experience, and then you have a whole lot of crazy that goes
right.
On. And I think what you're saying is this. I think in your book, you say, look, ultimately, anything and everyone can change form if the power of transmutation, the ability to change energetic form was truly utilized. I took that out of your book. I'm like, okay, let me read that, what you say right there again. Okay, ultimately, anything and everyone can change form with the power of transmutation. The ability to change energetic form is truly utilized. Totally want to do that.
I know, right? And why aren't we? I mean, if we believe so many things that we say, we believe, and a lot of us spend, us meaning just humanity, waste a lot of time fighting about really, it may be really important stuff, okay? I'm not going to judge important or not important, but just arguing where if we would really collaborate all that, everything together, I mean, and we could really use transmutation, we really could make a difference. It's not pie in the sky. It's just factual. It's just that it's hard to stay in that spot of literally being able to transmute the energy. We can, we do it. I mean, but I laugh. Another thing, and I'm not picking on, so we, whole other subject is saging, and we actually are ethically resourced and all that, and I don't take that lightly, but it's a whole other subject. But I would say that people, because we understand it because we talk to the chiefs of several tribes. I mean, we get our information, so that's why a lot of that I just roll my eyes. I'm sorry, I had to say. But because we go straight to the source of who we're talking about on those that we carry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be very careful, and you've got to be very, and we are. So, you know, if anybody has any questions about it, I know about, so I talk about it in the book, both books, when you talk about saging. All you're doing, you know, is clearing energy. And that's another thing. At some point, I already said, why are we just clearing energy before we ask, you know, hi, what's your name? Why are you here? Why do you keep rattling the hangers in my closet? You're driving me absolutely nuts. But I want you gone because you're scaring me. But first, why don't we just say why? Because that's a being. It's a spirit. And I also get a little bit on to, in a way, I try not to, but my husband's very much paranormal, ghost hunter kind of guy. So I'm not being ugly about it, but I think it's very, when we're talking about ghosts or disincarnates, you know, we're talking about beings too, sometimes that are very sad and they need to be led somewhere else and not just trapped where they are so they can be made fun of or be like a freak, you know, or I don't even want to use that word, but, you know, something that you point at all the time. And I think it's time for that to stop too.
Well, it's something freakish. And I think the thing that I'm really struck by, if I were to capture almost a sentence after reading both of the books and actually listening to some of the things you said, is you hold the up-level and utmost respect for these spirits, for these entities. See, that's my takeaway. Now, that's my 36,000-foot view to really look at it. And that's what's so honoring about who you are and your work. Sometimes you and I probably get caught up in the truth-teller mode where we'll say something, right, which is not what's been said before, not believed. And yet what we're saying is everything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is possible. You know, there was the good witch, then there was the bad witch. Nobody remembers the good witch in The Wizard of Oz. We all dress up like the bad witch on Halloween, right?
Yeah.
But this is really part of what I loved about this book in particular is it allows us to explore our own level of power within, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also aligns us with the spirits or the energy beings, I think as you call them, who are also capable of changing form. Doesn't this play out in your mind? Aren't we seeing this play out so big, right? So for me, in our pop culture right now. And what I mean by our pop culture, what we read, the books that are coming out, the movies that are being done, right? Whatever the television series that are popping up about whatever. It's almost as if we're having a groundswell where these beings really want to be heard, and they don't care if Hollywood's doing it or not.
I have noticed that, and I used to think, you know, are they creatures, let's just say, the others that we think of, beings, which I say we could be hybrids of those too, so who's to say what we are, but, you know, the beings have to be honored no matter, you said something earlier about honoring each of the beings without judgment.
Yes.
That's the part that's really hard. I mean, and for us to move forward, I think it's so important to understand that there's not judgment of the beings or the experience. And if you don't want to play with a certain type of being that it, you think maybe one way, but another culture may think something else about. That's fine. Whatever you think, you don't have to play in their playground. But at least get to know, since they're all around us and they're always always, I'll see them around people. I mean, they're around us all the time. So it's almost claustrophobic to even walk around. I mean, you can either see them or feel them or sense them. And it's impressive. I mean, I learned to say, okay, wait, this isn't going to be a problem for me anymore. I'm going to realize, oh, so it's time for, they're just waiting for somebody else to say how much we really see it and feel it. And yeah, I don't believe that much in a veil, but I don't, when it's somebody's ritual or their belief, you're like the lifting the veil, I celebrate with them. But it's as far as just, is there a separation between the living and others?
Yeah.
No, they're only frequency.
Yeah.
So we're around at the same time. We're just on a different frequency.
I love this. We're going to take a short break, Michelle. But first thing before we do, let's tell people how they can find about more about you, how they can listen to your podcast, how they can get a copy of the book. I'm not sure the newest book is out yet. I think I got an advanced copy. All of the above. Give folks some information if you would.
Okay. So the easiest way they reach me is at Michelle Welch. That's two L's and Michelle. And Welch, the grape juice, Welch.com. And then also for my book, the first book, Magic Connection, it's everywhere. It's on our site and Target, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Lou Ellen, of course. The new one, Spirits Unveiled, is actually available for pre-order now, and it comes out on June 8th. And you can pre-order it from Lou Ellen, us at Siltopia, or from Amazon.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, here's where we're going to take a look at. You know, I'm gonna ask Michelle to take a little walk with me, a little journey, so to speak. We're gonna be talking about, you know, the energies that, you know, each and every one of us may or may not feel. But we're gonna be talking about what some of the most common energies are that people talk about. What do you think I'm talking about? The most common energy, you know, that people talk about. But the other thing is this, duality. You all have your good days, you have your bad days. You have your good hair days, you have your bad hair days. But why is it when we speak about these spirit beings, it's really hard to think about one of these spirit beings having a bad day and yet others actually having a good day? Where does all that stuff come from? Let's take a short break, Benny. Jacob, we'll be right back, everybody.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light Show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Patasa the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge has led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit USA.TheKnowledgeBook.com. Net.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earth sound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Yeah, there we go. Welcome back, everybody. It's so great having all of you tune in. Hey, look, you want to connect with Michelle during the show, let's make sure you know to call in. You can do that, right? Got something on your mind, want to ask a question? Come on, 1-800-930-2819. If you're on Facebook, Jacob, you can monitor that and let us know what we got going on over there. Spirits Unveiled, a fresh perspective on angels, guides, ghosts, and more with Michelle Welch. Also, I keep referencing her other book, and I will mention that as well, because you should all know that The Magic of Connection is also available, and that's a fantastic, fantastic book. But both of these books almost have like a crossover energy from me. Because at the deepest part of our soul, you know, we are talking about connection. And we're talking about from, you know, some of the things Michelle has said and some of what's in the book. You know, this is judgment we carry forward, and boy, is it heavy. Michelle, before we hop back into it, please give out your website again. How do people get the book? How do they find out about you, and how do they schedule time with you?
Okay, thank you. Probably the easiest way is at michellewelch.com. It's Michelle with two L's, and then welch.com. And also, you can go to our, I have three stores. They're called Soultopia.
Yeah.
And you can go to either soultopia.guru or mysoultopia.com and find out everything that's going on through the stores, because I'm up at the stores a lot. And then we... also, most of the stores like Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble have my books. But as far as getting in touch with me to get on my books for an appointment, the best way is through michellewelch.com. And I'm pretty limited on those openings, but I do take them still. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Because we are talking about connection.
Yeah. So that's how we connect, right? Yeah. So I'm telling you, that first book that came out, The Magic of Connection, I try to tell people, it's hard to, when it's your own book, to say, this book really, if you will take it seriously and think about the steps of what to do in the book, can change your life.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's my own book. But the truth is it can, because now every time I'm thinking about something, I think, okay, how do I really just want to protect against that? Or do I want to transmute that energy into something that I can work with? So I think about it in every decision I make now. Do I always there where I can transmute, you know, a dirty, snide, mean, bully person's attitude into wonderful, great vitality that very second? No, I'm not always there. But I think all of us need to work on how we can change the form of energy, because if – you know, if a black tourmaline can do it, which we say it can, it protects, it deflects, and absorbs negativity, then why can't we, as human beings, we're giving away a lot of power right there, in my opinion.
I'm 200,000,000% with you because, you know, I one of the things I love to think about myself is, especially from different experience, spiritual experiences I've had in my life, is, you know, I start to think about how underused we are by our own decisions. Nobody is limiting us. Like, there isn't, like, the limiting spirit that's like, oh, you are not going to have that experience, right? There's not, like, this thing that says, oh, you know what, just Michelle, she can do it, but, like, not you, Mary, not you, Benny. But yet, we superimpose a limiting belief on our ability. We superimpose that idea. And that's why I keep referencing both books, because when, you know, when I'm thinking about, you know, what I read from The Magic of Connection, I can't help thinking about your latest book, which says, wait a minute, what if you were to understand the entity, the spirit? What if you were to take a moment, even in your fear, even in your crazy, take a moment and find out, right? Not grab the can of rate, because honestly, the rate's not going to help. That, you know, or whatever that bug's free. Any, it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you with the spirit, right? But we are missing out if we don't do this, right? We may be missing an opportunity if we don't do this. The best thing my stepmom ever did for me was at 6 years old when they wanted me to, what is the term? They wanted me to take back what I heard. And my stepmom was Southern Baptist, positive Southern Baptist, right? Wait, even then. She's like, no, we hear the voice of Jesus all the time and the voice of everybody all the time. And she was from the city, you know, my friend's from the Deep South. She's like, you know, what are y'all talking about? We hear these voices all the time. What's wrong with you? You don't hear them. And I never forgot that. And here we're living in a time where we have so much opportunity to connect. What is holding us back, Michelle? What is holding us back at a time where we really need some help?
I was thinking about the other day. I was thinking, why are people getting... What is up with humans? I mean, what is up with us, you know? And so, and I think it's, we're all, it is the time we need it but most. I think people got a little used to being alone. I mean, I think people all said they wanted to get back together, but they get back together and they're doing nothing but fighting half the time. Within minutes of getting back together, it's like we've kind of unlearned some skills of diplomacy, at least, you know? And so, to me, having the spirits, I'll tell you what was happening. When I was writing Spirits Unveiled, back in it's September and October, we went to Denver for the trade show, the International New Age Trade Show. It goes to Tucson also, but we get all these places. And I was there writing, and... I found out I had COVID. I got in my room, never left my room, and I felt horrible. So I found out I had COVID. It was like September of last year, September, October of last year. And I had a deadline for my book. And I was writing on certain chapters that I know a lot of stuff, if people believe in this, fine. If they don't, fine, too. It was channeled. It was given to me. I had the information. I dreamed about it. But I jokingly have said to a lot of people, I can't wait to get to read my own book. And I have, obviously. But there were times when I was really, really, really ill that, and I happened to be in a very haunted hotel, and it really is very, has a lot of activity there. And I will tell you what I said to my husband. He was out. This was not because I was suicidal at all. I'm not saying that. I do have the information for that in my book, back in my book, for hotline numbers and stuff like that. But I was literally, I called Roger and I said, I'm going to walk outside the window. And then put the Brown Palace in downtown Denver. And he said, I know you're not. That's six floors up, and you won't be able to get that open. You're not going to open that door. And I said, no, I need some fresh air. I've been in here forever. And I was very delusional, obviously. I mean, and I was saying I'm going to walk up the sixth floor. And I looked down, and I said, no, really, the pavement people told me I'd be okay. And Roger's like, you're crazy. I'm coming home. My husband, who's like, what is going on with you? You're going nuts. But literally, I don't know that the pavement people, but there are people who are on the streets, you know, just beings that I see on the streets all the time. And they weren't telling me to come kill myself or jump through this. I was just very hallucinating because of COVID.
Yeah.
But, and you know, that COVID brain probably still gets me even today. But it made me think of all the beings that there really are that we don't acknowledge. That's why my book is not like an encyclopedia to beings. I choose some and I say, okay, which ones of these might you be interested in working with, or have you worked with when you didn't want to and didn't know what to do with it? And they've, you know, shown up in your hospital room or something like that. So that's the ones we go into as opposed to being like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, but I think that I'm so glad you did it this way, because here's why. Because an encyclopedia will give us a lot of information. What you've done is give us a lot of energy to feel. See, that's different. You know, yeah. You can write a book and you can describe all the goddesses, all the energies, all the ghosts. And there are people, I have a couple of friends, they just write about the ghosts because that's what they do. That's their life. But this is a book for our time. This is a book that I believe you wrote for us to help us open up to connect. You know, one of the things I was reading, you know, and one of my listeners just texted me. She wanted me to say what I was talking about before the break. Okay, so what I was referring to before the break, when I said, you know, what are the spirits that we most hunger and long for? And it's the chapter in your book about loved ones and spirits, about the ancestors, right? I don't know that I've ever met anyone that hasn't had some thought about this, about the energy of someone that has passed, even if they say it in joking. But you say this, and this is why I love this book, and I'm so glad you did not make this an encyclopedia, because you should have made this an encyclopedia of 100 questions you should ask yourself. That's what comes out of this book. And one of them was, when you said this, you said, in other words, open your mind to the possibility, if only just a little bit. And you were talking about sensing your loved ones, right? What you were talking about, sensing your loved ones. Benny, I would love to take a short break. When we come back, let's get on the journey. Let's decide what we can learn from what Michelle is putting forth today in the importance of the magic, right? The book on the magic of connecting. And this book is all about energy. When we come back, do you believe this statement? Everything is energy. Do you believe it? Do you believe it in every cell of your body? Everything is energy. Benny, how about taking us to a short break? We'll be right back.
Give her a call.
Okay. Hi, Benny.
Shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light Show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com.
Tune in to Awaken Your Magic Within, reveal unconscious systems to discover your unstoppable freedom power. Join me, Tracy Lynn Wallace, on TransformationTalkRadio.com the first Tuesday of each month, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, to gain insight, direction, and tools to uncover limiting beliefs. Get ready to step into your unstoppable power to discover and uncover your magic within.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about maximum medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Yep, we're talking about, yep, I love it, Spirits Unveiled. Of course, Michelle Welch is my very special guest today. And as usual, I will say this, and Benny, you know this to be true, Benny. Over a 20-year period doing this, cross-busting, Dr. Pat, it doesn't matter. When we start to pile up the energy, I mean, you all heard it with Olivia Newton-John, right? You heard her drop three times, right? And the only album she ever did, Grace and Gratitude, that was like not about grief, but about energy and spirit, three times in the interview. Why? I don't know. But I will say this. Sometimes there are spirits that get unveiled, and they want to get in on the conversation. And now I'm just wondering, Michelle, what the hell did they want us to talk about or not talk about today?
I had a lot, but just saying for me to get with it with my technology, even though I thought I was, they're reminding me those little elemental gremlins that they can get into that.
Yeah, so. And you know, part of this too is I want to talk about this is an upcoming book. This is a book that people can pre-order now. So we just want to make sure our folks can pre-order it. Where's the best place for them to go to do that?
The two best places right now as of today are Lou Ellen, of course, my publisher, and that's just Lou Ellen Distributing, or just type in Lou Ellen, and you'll get it. And then it's the books, obviously. And then you can order on pre-order now on Amazon. The benefit for that for me, and also for Soultopia, but we can throw a little link in. I keep being hesitant because one of the things is it's a big honor if you do read an author's book from from whatever source, but to write a review for them if you enjoyed it, or, you know, write what you believe. And that's on Amazon. If you do buy a pre-ordered book there, you can write a review.
Yeah, yeah, I plan to do that because, and I can't tell you enough, I'm glad you did not write the encyclopedia. I wanted to say it like a million times. Because you're giving us is you're giving us a roadmap, so to speak. Let's just call it a spiritual roadmap. And that's my language, so I don't want to offend you. But and the reason I say that is because by the time I got to the part of the book that was about thought form streams and predatory spirits, I'm like, oh, yeah, now we need to talk. And I have a funny feeling that they knew I was going to talk about this, like, at this part of the show. Because for so long, I think there are either misconceptions or misunderstandings or you can put in whatever words you want about what all of this means. But you included this in the book, and I want to go back to something else in the book, because you said everything is energy, including these, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the rabbit hole that thought forms, demons, and predatory spirits take us down?
You asking me?
I'm asking everybody, but I know you know the answer to that.
I mean, I think it's we need to go down to that to see what shadow work we need to do, if that's what you're asking. Where does it take us? Typically where we think it'll take us.
Yeah.
But does that mean we shouldn't look at it? I say no, we should. It's around us as much as anything else. And you've alluded to it several times, so another thing I say in the book that I used to not say because I just repeated what everybody else said. I used to say, these don't have free will, like, for instance, angels. And I think they do. But this, you know, scripture and things that people will even cite from and get those beliefs still from, which is fine if that's what they believe. But, I don't believe there's a veil. There's a lot of things that get repeated and repeated and repeated in these circles. And they're all maybe wonderful things for a time. But I will question and question everything. And especially things that I'm going to talk to when you talk about the thought forms and all those. The thought forms is in some of my pre-readings. I will tell you, people that read the book got little samples of it. The thought form part was very interesting to a lot of people. They just hadn't really thought about thought forms in that way, and that you can use thought forms for good and for the duality, for bad, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Right?
I got to tell you, quite honestly, I love it. Because I think it was a major gap in the whole, I love that the movie The Secret and The Secret, the book, really opened up a new door. But I also interviewed all of those people, and I said, you know, we have to have a bigger conversation about this. Because, and I just gave them some examples. I said, you know, for most of my life, I could tell you that I struggle with this, and I could manifest every rotten egg in a dozen of eggs without even thinking. I could go to the grocery store and already be thinking, I'm going to pick out the rottenest dozen of eggs in the store. And by the time I picked them out and got them home, they were all rotten. But you talk about this, and I'm so glad you mentioned this. I think you refer to Harry Potter, though, and I love that you did that, as collective consciousness.
It was just kind of an example that I could think that something can be part of the collective. Something, if we put our energy, so much energy into that one thing, it can actually become a thought form. It actually can become a real energetic being. It has energy, that much energy put into it. And if we think about that with every single thing we do in our life, okay, the energy I'm putting into, think of all this energy. I used to think this about my clients, and with all due respect to my defense clients, for law, okay? Did a little bit of criminal law at the beginning. I was a prosecutor, and then I did a little criminal defense law. And I used to think if they would put, some of my clients would put the energy they put, because they're so damn smart, if they would put the energy they put into ripping this little grocery store off, if we would just take the energy that we have that we can use for something else instead of using it for all the anger we have at somebody. And when we can get to that point, I mean, it's not a joke. We're superheroes. I mean, we've stepped into the fullness of who we're supposed to be, but right now we're not. And there's nothing wrong with having I love the crystals. I have the sage. I have the sage spray. We have incense in our stores. I have all of it. But I say jokingly to Roger, I say in both my books, I believe if we can relate to the spirits around us in the way I talk about and learn to transmute them in energy the way I talk about in the magic of connection, I would say that there wouldn't be that much of a need for a store like this because we could do everything with our minds and our, but yet some of us still want that tangible, you know, we want that crystal, we want that oil, or we want that guide to not look like a ball of energy. We want the guide to actually look like a human because that's what we relate to best. Whereas a lot of us not just need to see the true form, the ball of energy, right? It just happens to put some decorations around it for people with spirit guides. Some people might not be comfortable with a spirit guide looking like an alien, but somebody else might be, and it might be the same, almost the same as that form of energy. Yeah. It's noticeable in when you're writing about all the different beliefs that people have on certain things. Cultures seem to have the same stories about certain things, but they have just different variances on what they believe about those and what they call certain goddesses and things. You know this.
I do.
It happens a lot. And
we so want to think we're so different. We so want to be so different. And, you know, we forget everything is energy. Dogs, cats, our view of extraterrestrial, and thank you for including multidimensional beings in the book. I think that's going to be with the next book, right?
I love talking to you. Yeah.
Oh, we've got to come back. We've got to do a whole thing on that because the question that I ask is, are the multidimensional beings using the energy of blockbuster movies to create change? You could think about that for a while.
No, I actually think maybe.
I'm telling you, it's impossible to imagine a movie like the one coming out, Doctor Strange and the Madness Multiverse, to imagine a movie coming out and having a human form actually create that concept. Maybe I'm naive. I'm a little ignorant, too. But
no.
I love that you are opening up a door. And both books, when I put them together, they're what we need to really move the energy that we've carrying for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
We need to do that.
I agree. We do. And I got the vision of, like, with a shovel. Like, we're shoveling, you know, it's like the snow or whatever it is we're shoveling. We're shoveling, and we still have some stuff to shovel out of the way, and we may not realize that we do, but we really do. We've got some things to sort through. And, you know, this is when spirits can come in. So many people ask, you know, I can't see my spirit guide, or I can't seem to talk to them, or my loved one won't speak to me. And I do have answers in the book for that. I do have reasons that, you know, for a time, it may seem like a loved one doesn't speak to someone, and it may be true for a little time, but it's also often true that they haven't thought of all the ways that they might speak to try to communicate with them.
Exactly.
They think, yeah. And so I try to go through. One of the most interesting exercises in the book is the one to do with your significant other, a loved one, a best friend, whomever. And the idea is to take the quiz together before, you know, you're sick. Come on.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of the...